Watcher, and welcome. It's that time again. It's Mike Wynne with this week's The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. I know you won't believe me, but I do spend time thinking of what's the best way to start a particular show. Not a big band, not too loud, not too fast, not too slow. In fact, something like this is perfect. Was Roland Kirk, Rassan Roland Kirk, as he later became. And yes, I do remember we played him just last week. But this is his very first recording as a leader. It's a King LP called Triple Threat, and that was the title song. And it's written by Kirk. And I must tell you, he was only 20 when this was recorded in November 56. Kirk playing three horns, as we've come to expect. Tenor, Manzello and Stritch. James Madison was on piano, great intro by him. Carl Pruitt bass and Henry Hank Duncan drums. King Records was really an R&B label. A few jazz albums it recorded and published got little or no promotion. Hence, it's often thought that Kirk's second album, which was on Argo and called Introducing Roland Kirk, was his first. Nope, we've just heard his debut album. Good start, huh? And another title song now. The LP sleeve calls it Frenetic Polyform Jazz.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amazingly, surprisingly, that's the first time that Tommy Dorsey has been on our show. And even now, it's really as a nostalgic interlude to hear his then very young singer, a 24-year-old Frank Sinatra, on Johnny Mercer's Fools Rush In. Dorsey himself on trombone, of course, and the drummer was the even younger 22-year-old Buddy Rich. March 1940 being the recording date. We seldom go back that far, but this next one is also in the 40s. This original pressing Savoy LP, recorded Feb 1948 in Chicago, is billed as the Howard McGee Sextet with Milt Jackson. They are joint leaders, and it's also a quintet there, as tenorman Jimmy Heath sits out on Sweet and Lovely. McGee was one of the first bebop trumpeters, known for his fast fingers and high notes, but he obviously never attained the fame of fellow bebop trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie, as sadly drugs interfered in McGee's career. Milt Jackson on vibes is well known to us all. Before Jackson, only Lionel Hampton and Red Norvo played the vibes that seriously. But Jackson overtook them both, and yes, he went on to lead the Modern Jazz Quartet, but only for a while, before pianist John Lewis took over as musical director in the mid-50s. Will Davis is on piano, but listed as Vernon Diddle in the liner notes, Percy Heath bass, and Joe Harris drums. Willie Pickens is next. And I'm sure you recognised Harold Arlen's It's Only a Paper Moon, played here as a solo piano piece by Chicago-based Willie Pickens. It's hard to believe that that powerful rendition was all the work of a single muso. Pickens died last year in New York. He had just finished practising for that evening's gig at Dizzy's Coca-Cola Room and had a massive heart attack. He was 86. Pickens loved Chicago. He studied under the famous Captain Walter Diet, and Pickens rarely left Chicago and its buzzing jazz scene. His view is that all musos eventually in their careers came to Chicago for a while. But for a man of his enormous talent, he strangely only made this one LP called It's About Time, recorded inevitably in Chicago in the late 80s, but he carried on playing literally until a few seconds before he died. Let's hear another extract from the Ellington October 62 interview, and it's the Duke remembering his long-term sideman.
Incidentally, you know, before we launch into this little memory session, why don't you plug some of the great and lasting musicians that you have with your troupe here in town? I'm amazed, and pleasurably so, about how many of the originals are still with the group.
Well, it all depends on where original starts.
That's true.
Now, in 1927, Harry Carney came. He's still there. Johnny Hodges in 1928. Cootie Williams, 1929. Lawrence Brown in 1932. Billy Strayhorn, 1939. Ray Nance, 1940. Jimmy Hamilton, 1942. Cat Anderson, 1944. Russell Prokop, 1945. And then we get into the new members like Paul Gonsalves. He's only been there 12 years.
Mr. Newport, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Sam Woodyard, he's only been there 8 years. It's ridiculous, you know.
Just a child.
Yeah.
The date, November the 29th, 1926.
That's Billy Strayhorn's birthday.
Is it really?
No, it's... What is it? Yeah, November the 29th. Yes, of course it is.
Do you recall the tune, though? The East St. Louis Toodaloo?
East St. Louis Toodaloo, yeah.
Is that the way you pronounce it? I've often wondered.
Well, what actually happened, we started out calling it the Toodaloo, and, of course, the printer obviously made a mistake and put another O in it or something. I never spelled it for him, actually. And Toodaloo, you know, is a broken walk. Mm. You know, and it was supposed to be, you know, in those days, well, now we do the same thing. Practically everything we wrote was supposed to be a picture of something, you know, or it represented a character or something. And This is the thing that we were walking up Broadway one night after playing the Kentucky Club, and we were talking about this is old. This is an old man after a hard day's work in the field. You know, he's with he and his broken walk coming up the road, but you know he's strong. You know, in spite of being so tired, because he's headed for that, to get his feet under the table and get that hot dinner that's waiting for him. And that's the East St. Louis Totolo, actually, but since it was misspelled, we've been compromising it, and we call it Totolo Toodaloo.
And this was October 62, so many of these guys continued on for a few more years in the band. Oddly, Duke forgets some big names. Well, not that odd, really, as it was an unrehearsed question. Barney Bigard, Juan Tissot, and I let the talk continue as Ellington gave this lovely insight to the name East St. Louis Toodaloo. I'm currently reading Peter King's wonderful autobiography, so here he is. And that's from Peter King's first album as a leader, which was called New Beginning on Spotlight Records, all recorded in the summer of 62, but four different lineups. We heard The Quintet, King on alto, Dick Pierce trumpet, John Hall on piano, Dave Green bass and Spike Wells drums. Jimmy Heath sat out on an earlier track, but he makes up for it here by contributing the song Gingerbread Boy. Do you remember those? And the liner notes, rather gushily, tell us that we could, quote, hang your hat on this groove, unquote. And we did. Recorded at Porcupine Studios, Southeast London. So who's next? Well, Philly Joe Jones was a big chum of Pete King's and a fellow addict, sadly. But here is Philly Joe. That's from an Atlantic LP called Philly Joe's Beat, recorded in New York, May 1960. That was Two Bass Hit, written by John Lewis of MJQ fame for Dizzy Gillespie. But I see that Dizzy's name has crept onto the songwriting credits. Bill Barron, tenor, Michael Downes, cornet, Walter Davis, without the junior in this case, Walter Davis, piano, the magical Paul Chambers bass, and as we know, Philly Joe Jones, drums. It's a vocal next by Miss Julie London.
Buzz around, buzz around, keep a buzzing round. Bring home all the honey love to me, little bee, little bee, little bee. Let me spend the happy hours roving with you amongst the flowers. And when we get where no one else can see, cuddle up, cuddle up, cuddle up. Be my little baby bumblebee. Buzz around, buzz around, keep a buzzing round. We'll be just as happy as can be, you and me, you and me, you and me. Honey, keep a buzzing, please. I've got a dozen cousin bees, but I want you to be my bumblebee. Buzz around. Buzz around, buzz a buzz around. Little bee, little bee, little bee. Cuddle up, cuddle up, cuddle up. Be my little baby bumblebee. Buzz around, buzz around, buzz a buzz around. We'll be just as happy as can be. You and me, you and me, you and me. Honey, keep a buzzing, please. I've got a dozen cousin bees, but I want you to be my baby bumblebee.
Julie London's record sold really well, largely, I think, because of the revealing photos of her on her LP front covers. She was very attractive, with a statuesque ship-launching body and certainly not shy in showing it off. This cover has her in an almost old-fashioned, well, not old-fashioned, this is 1959, so current then, but it's, in my opinion, a combo of swimsuit and an exercise outfit. You'd have to see the photo. Have to see the photo. Julie is supported by the Jimmy Rolls Orchestra, but apart from Rolls on piano, we don't know the names of any of its members. Let's have a blues to follow. Be My Little Bumblebee. Thank you. That was recorded in Prague, Feb 77, a solo piano LP called Winter Flowers. Adam Makovitz is the pianist, and this is the third of a series of four albums he made of solo piano music in the mid-late 70s. That was his own combo. In fact, all the tracks on this Supraphon LP are his own songs. That was Blues Number 1. Are there? No. It could easily have been called Blues Number 1 and only. Next up, a change of pace, style and instrument. Wow, or should I say, rather more strings than I remembered. That was Underneath the Strings and Struggling to Get Out, Lorindo Almeida on guitar in 73, with a large orchestra conducted by Oscar Castro Neves. Would have shortened it more if I hadn't had to clean the next LP, but you might have recognised the love theme from The Godfather. Must say I didn't. And here is that next, now cleaned, LP. I'm so pleased that one worked out okay. I've got that on a pre-production test pressing with handwritten titles. In fact, the sound quality was better than some of the commercially released LPs that we featured this week. The eventual title of this album was changed from Coleman Hawkins Meets the Big Sax Section to just Meets the Saxophone Section. And it's largely Basieites, the maestro of the tenor sax, Coleman Hawkins, of course, plus Marshall Royal and Frank Wes altos, Frank Foster tenor, Charlie Folks baritone, Nat Pierce piano, Freddie Green, of course, on guitar, Eddie Jones bass, and Bobby Donaldson drums. That was There's Nothing Like a Dame from South Pacific. We're off to the Village Vanguard in New York City. We'll be right back. It's been ages since we heard Tommy Flanagan, and even longer since we heard him in a club live. Rudy Van Gelder recorded this session, and his quote on the back cover says a lot. Quote, "This is the first live recording I've done in 12 years. I love jazz, but I don't have to go out to clubs to hear it. This time I did. Tommy Flanagan made it worthwhile," unquote. Rudy, of course, had people recording at his studio every single day. This is October 86. Tommy Flanagan piano, George Mraz bass and Al Foster drums. And we heard a swinging version of All God's Children. From New York to Baden-Baden. Easy.
Thank you.
I could have called that our Ellingtonian slot. I might still come to think of it. That was the great bassist Oscar Pettiford, leading a band of Europe's foremost jazzers, plus an American expat based out of Paris. The Europeans first. Rolf Kuhn, clarinet, Hans Kohler, tenor, Attila Zola, guitar, and then the American Jimmy Pratt, drums. That was an OP compo, My Little Cello, recorded in Feb 59 in Baden-Baden, the gorgeous Spa town in southern Germany. And that's from a newly released Deep Groove vinyl LP by SWR Music. And that's it for this week, sadly, and I hope you've enjoyed all the numbers, all from LPs this week, and I equally hope you'll be back with me, Mike Wynn, next week for another The Real Enjoyment of Jazz. Until then, please, take care, be well.